It's bowling season.
NBA Straya. How you going? That's right. It's NBA Straya. It's Wednesday, September 30, the day before the NBA Finals kick off. Woo! That's right. We're almost there. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer sometimes. Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and literally whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff, I'm here. In Larry Armour Studios, now surrounded by empty packets of peckish, tangy, barbecue-flavoured rice crackers. Old mate is off her chain in here, apparently. Anyway, I am here giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, why they're doing, and who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA Orlando bubble. Breaking down, wrapping up every little bit of NBA action for you while repping Australia a little bit. That's what we do here. It's the NBA playoffs. It's day 44. There's no games. Because the finals are tomorrow. You little ripper. All right, so this is the big NBA Finals preview show. We're going to fly through a bunch of questions for the Heat and the Lakers. We've done this for every single series so far. We're going to extend it today to five big questions for each of the Heat and the Lakers, along with a bunch of yeah nahs and Jimmy's 10 favorite bets for the series. And we're going to finish off with my game one pick and my series prediction. Un-bloody real. Oh, I'm a bit excited, I'll tell you what. This will be it as well. We'll close out with the Jingles HR today. Here we'll answer the question from Glenn from a golf course in Southern California. And that's a ripper. So let's bloody well get stuck in, shall we? It's episode 492 of NBA Straya. Let's go!
This is Matthew Dellavedova and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack!
You better. Or the geography attack, I guess, if you're Hassan Whiteside. Oh, geez. Hassan, look, it should surprise nobody that Hassan Whiteside doesn't know that Hawaii is part of America, right? Boy, howdy. Spud of the night, we're not going to have one today, but he basically wins it. What a great tweet. Man, I've had enough of this. Fuck that, America. I'm moving to Hawaii. All right, bro. Job. All right, let's start today's show real quickly, the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with the daily whip around. Just a little bit of news to get through. Jenny Buss has had a couple of nice little media appearances. Just a great suck piece about how great she is, written by one of her best mates on ESPN. I really regret having like mates who aren't really high placed at like huge media outlets who can write amazing like blowjob pieces on me. It's like, Jimmy's the fucking best. I love him. Everything he's done has been incredible. Because, I mean, Jeannie Buss, she's never done anything fucking wrong if you read the media. Jesus. Anyway, she did have a good point talking about Adam Silver shutting down the league and how it probably saved thousands of lives because it really kicked everybody's head about how serious COVID was. And it's a really good point, actually. And I think we've made that before, back when he did shut it down. But there's like just a bunch of Jenny Buss stuff out there at the moment because the Lakers are in the finals, which makes sense. She is, you know, ostensibly the owner. There's some interesting stuff about her brother that she's spoken about and how he had all the lawyers basically trying to oust her. And obviously that sort of palace intrigue was kind of funny, kind of interesting. But at the same time, it's like just intestine fucking family squabble, right? And you're like, all right, cool, whatever. Anyway, I just really, hey, I'm going to get Ben Malice to write just a glowing piece about how great I am. Malice in the Palace, get on it. All right, other news, Delonte West, we mentioned this yesterday with Lakers fan Tim, how Cubes went and picked him up in Dallas at a gas station. He's covering his rehab costs. But the cool thing is, apparently Cubes reunited Delonte with his mother in Dallas as well. And now Delonte has actually checked into rehab in Florida, And that's being paid for by Cube. So that's fucking great. What a legend. Good stuff. On your Cubes, what a fucking all-time great legend he is. I also love that, like, we just got a bunch of Cubes Delonte West action because I don't know about you, but I'm pretty, like, full-blown on into the Delonte West, like, agreeing to meet Mark Cuban in a Texas gas station and now is, like, you know, hanging out. Because I just love the idea of Delonte West going, all right, this week on Shark Tank. Yeah, it's called I Fucked LeBron's Mom Crack and I'm looking for a 2,050% stake investment from the Sharks today. Mark, what do you think? Delonte marketing a new strain of crack on the Shark Tank. That's what I'm all about. But nah, good on him. That's fucking great. I love it. Cubes, you're a fucking legend for doing that too. And it also came out in the wash, a lot of the Doc Rivers stuff. It very, very clearly seems like it was Steve Ballmer, obviously, the man in charge of the LA Clippers. Basically, he spent the weekend asking around, speaking to players, management, including Lawrence Frank, Dennis Wong, Jerry West, Michael Winger, a bunch of the other dudes there in LA land, before actually just going, Doc, mate, it's over. He spoke to Doc as well, and it really seems like they couldn't quite get the way forward for the franchise completely 100% vibing. It's the whole vibe of the thing. That's basically where it was. And look, the players didn't really stick up for Doc, it seems. A Bomber's like, all right, he's got to go. So there you bloody go. All right, let's do it. Let's get stuck into the NBA Finals preview before tomorrow's Game 1 of the 2020 NBA Finals in the bubble. Are you excited? What do you reckon?
Oh. I had an excitement quiver. I get very excited about things, and I do that.
Yeah, I get excited. I do things like that, because this is, look, I'm sober and crazy, and I don't know what'll happen.
That's right. I'm sober and crazy, and I don't know what I might do.
I'm excited, mate. I'm excited. How excited? Just so fucking excited. Right, anyway, first off, the Lakers stink.
The Lakers stink!
But let's do five questions for the Lakers, shall we? They are the favorites. LeBron James does not tend to lose in the playoffs when he is the favorite. Unless he's playing the Dallas Mavericks and shits the bed. And also, I don't know, runs into a fucking thresher called the Patty Mills, Aaron Bangers Baines led 2014 San Antonio Banderas Spurs. Anyway, let's do it. Number one for the Lakers. Five big questions. Five, 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 five. Number one. Can the Lakers win it playing big? Can they, can they, can they, can they? We saw them just whip it out. They pulled the old fella out. They just went, frump, threw it on the table, and how do you like that? And it was Dwight Howard starting. And the Lakers have shifted and changed when needed during the playoffs. They've gone big with Dwight next to AD and LeBron. They've gone small when you've got AD, a fucking 7-foot human pterodactyl as your center still. I'm fucking sick of this whole power forward, not actually power forward center bullshit. Tim Duncan shat me up the wall his entire fucking career. I'm not a center. Yes, you are. Shut up. And Anthony Davis like, no, I'm a power forward. He's like, look at LeBron. He's a power forward. You're a center. Shut up, AD. Anyway, but they did go small against Houston. That worked. And now the Heat don't actually have a giant amount of size, unless they decide to play more Myers and his amazing rig Leonard or Kelly Hoser Olynyk, which you can't really see them doing. Anyway, but the thing is, with that size, can they keep it up against the perimeter defense that'll be way more terrifying than the Nuggets perimeter defense was with the Miami Heaters? Because going big's all well and good. And one of the big things about going big, they score a shit ton at the rim to the Lakers. They just do. And when their three-point shooters are on, they are literally unbeatable. I'll talk about that in a second. But if they're going to go big, the Heat do seem like a team that could be a little bit disadvantaged by that. Because they do only have BAM Adebayo really as a frontline big dude. And the rest is a bunch of Jimmy Butler, Iguodala, Jay Crowder and co. Who, while staunch and built like brick shit houses all, might be giving up a bit of fucking time, you know, height and size and length. So it's a bit of an interesting one. And if they do go big and it works, ugh, this could be over quickly. But at the same time, the Heat and the way they, you know, maneuver the ball on defense is going to be this interesting thing of like, can they play, keep it big on offense? Cool. Does it work? And how does it work on defense though? It's all well and dandy if you're scoring 2 points, but if you're going back up the other end and Dwight Howard is getting fucking cooked and they can't keep up on the perimeter and they're dropping threes all on your fucking bonds, Jesus. So yeah, keeping up a perimeter defense as well, that's all well and good that you're big. Can your guards get a link? Can LeBron running high pick and roll after high pick and roll after high pick and roll, can he make you pay for being a smaller team? It's going to be fascinating to fucking see the Lakers going big or nay. I can't wait to see how it unveils itself, right? Number two, same as ever. Look, this question will always be for the Lakers. Can their role players, shooters actually hit their threes? Because if this actually happens and they do so, this is over. Remember, stats are for nerds, but this is literally my favorite of the playoffs. The Lakers are undefeated in the playoffs so far when they shoot more than 30% from three as a team. What? Holy shit. So basically, that means if Notorious KCP and Danny Not the Boxer Green and Kuz go 2 of 4, 3 of 7 here and there, and AD and LeBron don't stink it up, then the Lakers win. It's just how it goes. And you've seen this happen time and time again. Just as, like, the Lakers only need one or two of their dudes to basically go off and hit a couple of their threes, and they tend to win. Because that's how much they punish you inside when they're big. Here we are. So if the perimeter dudes for the Lakers can hit their threes, it might be over. But that's a hell of a stat, isn't it? If they shoot more than 30% as a team, they haven't lost. Sure, they've only lost three times so far this playoffs, but damn. Number three, Jimmy, can you imagine Frank Vogel, oh geez, as an NBA championship coach? I mean, you know, what has he got to do here? He's got Jason Kidd. It's basically going to be all on him to not fuck up, right, Vogel? Like, make the right adjustments when it comes to playing big or not. How to combat Miami's zone when they whip it out. Utilizing Rondo and Kuz to the best advantage and not, you know, leaning on Rondo and Howard when they're shithouse. And to not get out-coached to the absolute bejesus by Spo, right? Like, the big question is going to be, is Vogel up to it? He spent his years in the wilderness after being a bit of a gun in Indy. He was shithouse in Orlando. I was dubious. It's like, what's he fucking done but lose consistently for the last fucking 4 years of his career? Boom. Here we go. He's off to the finals. Off you go, Frankie. Prove it. Speaking of proving it, number four, do we trust Anthony Davis in the biggest spotlight of his life? I want the spotlight. Look, I think it's really good for my brand. I really want to play in a big market. Look at my funny eyebrow. Yeah, awesome, Anthony. That's fucking great. Now, go out and prove that you're a fucking super duper megastar. Don't fuck around. Basically, I want to know, are we an ass kicker or an ass kisser? You've run through Portland, Houston, and Denver. Bam's going to be the biggest, toughest challenge that he's had yet. Can he go and dominate? Can he go out there and win a finals MVP? Can he do it? Can he prove that he's one of the great off-screen big men scorers ever? Does he have the will to dominate? And can he exert his will on an actual game, on an actual finals series, when he's actually got defenders coming at him with speed, with size, you know, not maybe height, but Jay Crowder, it's like a little fucking wheelbarrow full of bricks flying down a fucking ladder at you. Holy shit. Tell you what. So trusting AD. Remember, this is the furthest clearly he's ever gone in the playoffs. He's there with LeBron hanging out. He's proven himself pretty awesome so far. May have fallen off the cliff rebounding wise in the last series, but I don't know. Anthony Davis. Can he do it? And finally, the last big question. It's LeBron, isn't it? Of course it's LeBron. Has LeBron saved himself for this? Does a 35-year-old LeBron James have the legs to win his fourth ring? He's picked his spot all playoffs, all season, really. Let AD take over when needed. That's what you do when you've got another top five player on your team. And then when he's smelling blood, bang! LeBron goes, all right, fucking game over, dickheads, fuck off. And it's gone straight for the throat. And it's been awesome. I've loved it. That game five he played was just absolutely bonkers against the Nuggets. Just went, look, we're not going to lose this one. So, fuck yous. I mean, I tipped them to basically be a little bit distracted to go, fuck it, we're up 3-1, shit the bed, and then win in six. But LeBron, he's like, nah. I've seen this play before. This is how it ends. That's not fucking happening on my watch. I'm too old. I've got such a shitty hairline. I'm fucking sick of this. We're going to win. Shut up, AD. We're winning. And away he went and won. So you got to feel like he's got a bit in the tank. He got an entire fucking off-season, basically, in the middle of the season. Forget going to Miami for 2 weeks to go hang out and taking Cleveland to a finals. LeBron just like, fuck it. How about we take 4 months off? We'll go to Orlando. We'll hang out in the same spot. And we'll go to the finals again, bro. I think you'll be all right. So that's going to be the big question. I don't know. Can he average a triple-double? Does he need to? He probably doesn't need to. Can he throw up 50-plus assists? We're going to talk about that in some bets later. But anyway, LeBron James, can he basically be, at 35, the best player on the Los Angeles Lakers and lead them to his fourth ring and their first title since 2010? Fascinating. I love it. For the Heat, the Miami Heat. Oh, I'm excited by this. They've got five of the top seven players in the series. We mentioned this with Tim yesterday. LeBron, AD, Butts, Bam, Goran, Hero, and then I'll take Crowder over Kuz, thanks. Maybe even Robbo. But still, Danny Green, Kuz, right there. Thing is, it's the finals. Is it going to matter? Like, cool, you're deep, but the team with the best player tends to win the playoff series. Usually. Of course. Unless you play this Heat team, that might be true. Giannis Antetokounmpo could tell you a fucking tale about that. Even Jason Tatum could probably tell you about that too, huh? Outplayed by Bam Adebayo. But still, when the other team is the two best players in the series, I mean, holy shit, can strength in numbers still help you? Especially when you're, after Goran is your third best player, your 4, 5, 6, 7 are pretty much like, all right, pretty bloody good role players. They're consistently pretty effing good. And I'd say that they're more consistent than the Lakers supporting cast. But really, when your top two dudes are that much better than everybody else, does it matter? Whoa. Well, we're going to see if the 2004 Pistons blueprint is the idea of the best team winning rather than the team with the best players winning, right? We're going to see that writ large across this entire series. So a lot of that comes down to number two. All right. So number one, obviously, is that depth going to matter? Number two, what it means is the Heat's death by a thousand cuts offense, where if someone doesn't quite have it, eventually the other blokes are all stepping up anyway, and that bloke might just turn around and hit a couple threes anyway, unless they're Duncan Robinson and he's on one of his 1-for-7 tears. But still, does that fire enough, this Heat depth, the death by a thousand cuts offense, does it fire enough to win them four games? This is the thing. Will they have a Hero, Dunkey Robinson, Jay Crowder, Iguodala explosion on the reg and consistently enough to do what they did against Boston, which was literally counter every run with punches of scoring of their own and then sort of just stymie Boston on the other end? The big problem I feel like for the Heat is going to be the stymieing on the other end, right? So if they can't stymie the Lakers for some of these crazy runs the Lakers tend to go on, does their offense actually still hang around, step up, or are they just slipping into panic mode? Just that little bit. The Heat don't tend to panic, but when they sort of do get beat, they get beat pretty bad. We saw that happen a couple of times, but not many times. They've only lost three games so far, but still. It's going to be a fascinating idea to see if this death by a thousand cuts offense really gets them going. So, speaking of which, a big part of that is, can the dragon be unleashed? Whoa, boy, Goran the Flog. What a phenomenal chance for him. The Slovenian terror. Butts and Bam can get most of the attention, obviously. He could run out there and have a Kyle Lowry-ish series. He's not defensively there, but fill in the gaps, knock down some threes, run the show off Butts, find the other shooters. Just be like, oh, fuck, that's right. They've got Goran Dragic. He's a gun. We've seen him have gun series so far this playoffs. We've also seen him throw in a couple of stinkers here and there. They can unleash the dragon. Just what happens? He's going to be covered by Rondo, Danny Green. So much switching going on defense as well. It's going to be hilarious to see who covers who, right? Danny Green, KCP, whatever guards the Lakers have got. If Dragon finds himself on Caruso, can he smash the Caruso? Let's go, Dragon. Let's see what you've got. I mean, just the Lakers' size and length is fucking terrifying, right? But at the same time, Dragon, Hero, Dunky Robinson, they've proven that they can find space against defenders bigger and more athletic than them against Boston and Milwaukee, right? So, Milwaukee, here it's Algonquin for the good land. But look, their defense, can they cover AD? This is number four. And LeBron. And Dwight. All at the same time. I mean, their zone's been fine, but if three players on the other team are like half a foot fucking taller than the dude going up against him, it's a bit tough. Doesn't mean we see Kelly Olynyk. Probably not. Because I think LeBron just takes it personally every time he sees Kelly Olynyk, the hoser. It's like a red flag to a bull. LeBron's like, oh, fuck that Canadian fucking sausage. I'm going to kill him. These stupid hair. But I mean, it does come down to how to Bam, Butts, and Crowder and Iggy navigate their defensive schemes, right? How much are they switching? You feel like those dudes are all right switching. You got your weaker defenders in Hero and Dunky Rob. And Goran. But with Bam, Butts, Crowder, and Iggy, you've got some pretty terrifying dudes. And what their plan for the LeBron high pick and roll is, like, are we switching every time? Who's doing the screening? We're going to have Dwight, we're going to have AD. You've pretty much just got to trust your dudes to switch with LeBron, because LeBron's going to go hunting for the Dragon or Robbo or Hero. And then that means fighting through screens, having enough help defense to counter it when he tries to sling it to the corners and whatnot. So how's your help side defense? But, I mean, can you trust this Bam, Butts, Crowder, and Iggy defense? Fucking fascinated. I love it. Their paint defense, I mean, you just got to make the Lakers shooters beat you. Obviously, that's a big thing. But can they also defend the paint with regularity? Boston had no one really who could punch them in the mouth. And every time Cannon got minutes, he scored at will, right? So even Tice had his moments. Now they've got Anthony Davis and Dwight and LeBron just coming fucking full bore down the court. Running off makes, just causing fucking havoc. LeBron getting a screen from AD. Just, high pick and roll. LeBron, AD. AD splashing threes over a dude half a foot fucking shorter than him. Have to get used to that sight. But still, I don't know. Defensively, this is the big question for the Heat. Can they cover that size? Can they do it? Will they whip out the zone? Will that help? Are the Lakers smart enough to get around the zone? You'd think so. But you'd sort of say the same thing about a Boston team coached by Brad Stevens. So here we are. And the final question. Can Butts be a megastar? Megastar in this series. I say megastar because I feel like superstar isn't quite enough when it comes to the NBA sometimes. Because you go, superstar. It's like, well, does that mean LeBron or does it mean Kyle Lowry? You know, there's levels. Megastar, that's your LeBron. Your Kawhi. Your KDs, probably even your Kyries, your Stephs and co. That's your megastars. And you got your superstars. That's your Jimmy Butler. He's always been a bit of a step below the top tier dudes. But, I mean, to be honest, who the fuck else would you want in your corner in a spot like this, right? Like, it's not outside the realm of possibility that Butts goes just fucking Super Saiyan, starts hitting threes as well as forcing his way to the line and feeding off Bam in a way the Lakers literally just can't fucking stop with all the shooters around them. I mean, they didn't have to worry about that so much with Denver. But at the same time, they did have a creative big man. They did have a very, very, willful shooting guard as well, Denver. So, they just didn't have quite the shooting around them, did they? So, but this is your chance to be immortal. I reckon he knows it. I'm fascinated to see how he responds. So, what do you reckon? What we're going to do is we'll do some yeah-nahs and then we'll get to the bets and the series prediction. But there's five big questions for each of them. Lakers defense, their offense, can they go big? The coaching, Spo versus Vogel, LeBron versus Butts. What more do you want? Bam versus AD. Unbelievable. All right, we'll do some yeah-nahs. Right after, let's take a quick break. Sure, fucking Jimmy needs some coffee. Tell you what.
This is Cam Glidden.
This is Anthony Drimmick.
This is Mitch McCarron.
This is Jason Kadeet.
This is Daryl McDonald.
Hey guys, this is Hugh Greenwood.
Yo, what's going on? This is Ellie.
This is Mark Worthington.
or commonly known as Wurtho, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA
Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
And you're listening to NBA Australia.
You're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's go. Yeah, nah time. They are brought to you by thedailyliquor.com from East Ninth Brewing. If you're in Melbourne, you're under lockdown, don't waste any of your 2 hours outside going to the Bottle-O, standing there in front of the fridge going, fuck, what do I want? Just go to thedailyliquor.com. Get around their awesome slab specials. Get you some tasty Dos Blocos, some sample. Ah, I love the sample three-quarter IPA. The Gold Lager. Love that. The Dos X is still my favourite. I punched a million of those drinking, during NFL Australia last night with my man Gaz. You might have seen that pop up on your feed today. Get around that if you're into the old American football. But they've also now got a bunch of wines and cocktails for you. So if you're not even into the beeros, thedailyliquor.com has got you covered. And if you're into the beers, I mean, and if the missus isn't into the beers, hook her up with a bottle of wine. She'll be like, this is fucking gross. Tell you what. Cocktails, wine, beer, Bob's, your bloody uncle. He actually is the uncle of the squid. That's funny. In order to celebrate the NBA finals as well, mate, as well as this lockdown, use the promo code STRAYA. Get a free six-pack when you spend $20. I mean, it's easy. $20. Buy a six-pack. Get a six-pack for fucking free of the Dos X. The Dos X, mate, it's the AFL finals this weekend. You need some beers? Buy a shit ton from thedailyliquor.com and get a free six for the Dos X, and you'll be like, holy shit, Jimmy, you can drink these till the cows come home. I fucking told you. Anyway, so this is the Melbourne metro area. Same day delivery before 1 o'clock. So go get around thedailyliquor.com right now. Buy a sixer. Buy a bottle of wine. A couple of locktails. Get a sixer on your old mate Jimmy if you use the code STRAYA when you spend $20. And thank me later. Seriously, the Dos X, you'll be sitting there drinking the tin. You'll be like, footy started. And you're like, holy shit, I need another beer. Oh shit, I need another one. They're the best. All right, some yeah nahs real quick. Let's do it. Number one, should the Clippers hire Mike D'Antoni, Jimmy? Yeah nah. Oh, yes. I love it. They're also already basically a small ball team when they play Montrez. Who's what, 6'8", maximum anyway. And Zoobs is basically, you know, prototypical Euro center. Just get D'Antoni in there, fuck everything up. This would be fucking great. Kawhi, Paul George, cramming the fucking ball down your throat. That'd be awesome. It's like the Clippers' destiny, isn't it? Unreal. But still, Jimmy, reckon Ballmer fired Doc because he was afraid that Ty Lue would actually get too good of an offer to go somewhere else and had to make the move he thought was actually inevitable. Yeah, nah, yeah, I think this is what happened. I reckon, like, he basically sort of saw the writing on the wall for Ty Lue bouncing. Or Sam Cassell, maybe. Seeing his guy, going, I reckon this is the guy. I think this is the guy I want. I better fucking fire Doc now so they don't walk somewhere else because they're the one I want. It's a pretty fucking typical business move, right? And I can't really fault it, especially if you think Doc can't reach your players in the same way as Ty Lue or Sam Cassell could. And away you go, right? So you go, right, this is the heir apparent. I think he can reach my dudes. This guy's got to go. I'm just going to pull the pin. Got to rip that fucking Band-Aid off, don't you, Ballmer? So, Jimmy, would Ty Lue actually be the guy? Yeah, nah. Look, I want to say nah, because fucking, I don't know, nothing he did stopped them from blowing that 3-1 lead against the Clippers and massive in-game leads to the Nuggets. What am I saying? The Clippers. They are the Clippers. So it's not like as though he's got no blood on his hands, you know? But at the same time, as Tim and I said yesterday, bloke was also on David Blatt's staff, took over and then won the fucking title. So maybe it's just Ty Lue as an assistant clearly doesn't have the will to exert over the franchise because he's not the head coach. And if he is the head coach, maybe he can kick some heads, take some names and off he goes. So I don't know. Maybe he should be. I reckon he is. Fuck it. I feel like Doc would most likely go to Houston, Jimmy, for all the face-saving frittata reasons I talked about yesterday, where Houston are like, oh, we're really sorry. We tried the whole Mike D'Antoni thing. Oh, I can't fire fucking Daryl Morey because he's got another 4 years left in his contract and I've got like $27 to my name. Oh, I'm frittata. Jeez, I hope Trump gets back in because he'll hook me up with some cash, bro. And this would be like the Houston's, you know, face-saving move by Frittata going, hey, man, look, we brought in a really good coach. Morey would be like, fuck, this is not going to work out. But would he work better in Philly, Jimmy? Yeah, nah, yeah. He'd have a slightly more traditional-ish roster, right? Gun point guard, who can't shoot, and a great big man as well. That, you know, would be, as opposed to him trying to figure out the roster in Houston, where he's like, wait, how am I the tallest guy here? You know, the small ball in Houston with Morey, I feel like he's got a personality that might also kick Philly's ass into gear, light a fire under Tobias Harris, bash Joel and old Big Simo together. I don't know. I think it just sort of feels like it'd fit and suit better. But at the same time, maybe Doc's like, fuck it, I want to stay somewhere warm. Is Jason Kidd pissed that the Lakers made the finals, Jimmy? Yeah, nah. Well, probably, yeah, because, I mean, if they hadn't, he'd probably have a head coach gig somewhere else. I mean, the thing is, if the Lakers also win in convincing fashion, Kidd's probably got going to get a long, hard look from at least one of the gigs that'll be still remaining in 2 weeks' time. Whether it be New Orleans, Indy, Houston, Philly, who fucking knows, but OKC, it's right there. But at the same time, like, I mean, before this year of him being an assistant coach, I would have said, fuck nah, because fuck that coke-spilling, wife-beating, franchise-ruining dickhead, but here we are, and he's been all right this year, it seems like. So he might also have to wait another year if these coaching spots dry up. Because, like, it doesn't really feel like unless he gets a spot in Philly or Houston, or actually, I guess he could jump across the locker room hallway and go coach the Clippers. Oh, there you go. That'd be interesting. But yeah, Jason Kidd's going to be like, God damn, I could have been doing all these interviews. Fuck. Anyway. All right, unpopular opinion of the day real quick. What do you reckon? What's this going to be? Look at me, look at me, look at me. I don't want to hear any more of this LeBron versus his old team bullshit. Mate. He spent 4 years in between going back to his old team and winning a title between that. So that's fucking tired as shit. And even LeBron agrees. He came out and said, it means absolutely nothing winning a title against his former team. Does it have extra meaning, LeBron? He's like, absolutely not. It's like, no. Oh, man. So, fuck that. Also, what makes me feel tired as shit, is stuff when you see, like, you know, Tyler Hero was 3 years old when LeBron was drafted. Holy shit! That makes you feel old, doesn't it? God damn. Boy, howdy. And finally, Outback Takehouse. It's Wednesday at Outback, and you know what that means? West Sydney Razorback ribs cooked by West Sydney Razorback legend Derek Rucker. Only at Outback. And today's flame grilled take is... Delonte West may have banged LeBron's mum, and LeBron may have secretly been working to fuck that guy's life up ever since. Only at Outback. Wow, that is a fucking flame grilled take. I'm pretty sure LeBron hasn't actually been working behind the scenes to fuck up Delonte West's life. He'd have somebody else do it for him. All right. We'll be back in a second with the NBA Finals Game 1 preview, you little ripper. Right after this.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right, let's do it. We do have a quick Patty Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in where we're going to go say hello to Jinglin' Joe Ingles, I believe. Because Patty is still out there just on holidays, not tweeting, chilling out. Probably doing some great work in the community somewhere because that's just the kind of guy Patty Mills is. Meanwhile, Jingles is on the Twitter machine all the time. Donovan Mitchell tweeted out, yo, I don't know how some of the ladies in my Soul Cycle class do it. But we're 35, 40 minutes in and I'm dead tired, belly pedaling, but they in there screaming, woo, going fast as hell like they just started. Cry laughing emoji times 4. Joe Ingles retweeted that, says, it's because your big ass feet don't fit on the pedals properly. classic Jingles off the top rope. Love it. All right, game previews.
Game preview. Game preview. Game preview. Game preview.
Thanks, Inadvertent Bane. Got there in the end.
Not a problem, Jimmy. How stoked are you that the squid's in daycare?
Oh, mate. Life-changing. Right. Game preview for the Game 1 of the NBA Finals. Brought to you by PlayUp Australia. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up. Get around their NBA specials. They're always very handy. So far for the playoffs, we are 42 of 77. So we're not doing too badly, eh? So, 10 best bets for the NBA Finals. Anthony Davis, top point scorer for the entire series. What do you reckon? Well, he's basically been the top point scorer for all the series the Lakers have played so far. So if you think they're going to win, boom, right there. Now, AD series average. What do you reckon? Over 28.5 points. I'm going to go, look, if you're going to go the top point scorer as well, you may as well go this one. That's $1.94 as well. The other one's $2.12, so you're laughing. Obviously, if you look, looking at those ones, then you go points over. For AD, basically game to game, you'd also have a pretty tasty run, I reckon. Another one of the 10 best bets, LeBron assists. He had 45 in the series against Denver. His over is 50.5. Now, you expect him to be out there scoring a little bit more in the finals, but at the same time, he knows that the way the Lakers are going to win is if his dudes are involved and if they're hitting shots. So expect him to be slinging that thing around. If you think it's going to be a close series, I tend to think it's going to be. And if it's going to go six games, I mean, here we are, just getting, you know, LeBron to 50 after six games. Fuck yeah. Right in there. Especially after 45 versus Denver in five games. Anthony Davis, I'm going to go to the rebounds under. We've talked about the, the size of the lineups for the Lakers. LeBron's been rebounding more, obviously, against Denver. Dwight was playing more as well. He had 31 total rebounds against Denver, did Anthony Davis. He was on an absolute fucking tear before that, but he was playing Houston. I might have been taller than everybody on that team. He had 31 total against Denver. The over-under is 52.5. I'm going to go to the under because I think, if nothing else, it'll take him a little bit of time to warm up. And if they've got a big lineup out there, he's not going to be out there rebounding so much. So give me some AD under rebound totals. Next up, Duncan Robinson made threes. Bloke made 20 in the series against Boston. His over-under is 17.5, $2.10. I'm taking that in a second. He's shooting 8 threes a game. Mate, if this goes 6 games, do you expect him to shoot 17 of 48? Fuck no, it's Duncan Robinson, mate. 17.5, he could do that in 2 games. So I'm going the over. Duncan Robinson series made threes over 17.5. Similarly for Tyler Hero, there goes my hero making fucking threes. 13.5 is the over. Smash that. It's only $1.75. Dunkey Robinson's $2.10, which is a great one actually, but I mean you are getting 17.5, which is a lot. But Tyler Hero over 13.5. He was shooting 7 a game against Boston. 7 a game. He made 15 in 6 games versus Boston. So he's already hit that over in, against Boston. This is a closer series, obviously, but it's only 13.5. He hit 14 threes in 5 games against the Bucks. So gimme that Hero. 13.5. Made threes for this series over. We've got another one here. KCP made threes. We actually mentioned this one with Tim yesterday, but it's over 10.5. I gave Tim, I think, 11.5 or maybe 12.5. Over 10.5, I'm taking that in a heartbeat. If the Lakers have got any chance in at least a couple of these games, it's because KCP's hit between 2 and 4 threes. And basically, most of his shots are from three. So give me some KCP over 10.5. That's $1.87. I'm loving that one. Now, there's an interesting one out there. I do very much like the Anthony Davis leading scorer, Bam Adebayo leading rebounder, and LeBron James leading assist man for the series. This comes in at, I believe, $6.50. And I am fucking crushing that because I believe Anthony Davis is going to lead everyone in points. Despite whether or not the Lakers win the series or not, Bam, I think, will lead everybody in rebounds. The Lakers will probably share it around a little bit too much. And I feel like there's no one else who's going to come close to LeBron's assist numbers. So, boom. Laughing. Get around that one. But my favorite, and this is number one right off the bat with a bullet, my favorite is the Miami Heat to win the finals 4-2 and Jimmy Butler to win finals MVP at 16.5 to 1. Because fuck it. This is what this has all led to, this show. Safe Money says that the Lakers have the two best players. LeBron doesn't lose series when he's the favorite. But also, the Lakers haven't played a team as complete as this Heat team, nor a team as well coached as this Heat team. I've underestimated the Heat all playoffs. They're America's team. They're the bubble team of destiny. 20 buck coffees. It's all leading up to this team winning the title just to fuck with TJ Warren. Because what could be possibly more Jimmy Butler than him seeing TJ Warren being the fucking toast of the bubble and going, fuck that guy. I'm going to win the fucking NBA championship and the finals MVP. Eat a bag of dicks, TJ. Jimmy Butler, finals MVP, Heat in six, 16.5-1. You can actually take them separately as well. And weirdly enough, I think I got that at $9.50 and $8 respectively. So maybe take a peek. So I don't know. What do you reckon? Lakers in six seems to be everyone's favorite pick. And I've just laid out, fuck it. The Heat have got a better, deeper team. They just need to stop the Lakers a couple of times and boom. Who knows what could happen. AD could bottle it. LeBron could bottle it. We've seen him do it before. Jimmy Butler. He's a bit up and down. We know that. But in a big spot in your foxhole, who do you want there beside you? Jimmy fucking buckets. Now, that said, I think I'm going to take Lakers -4.5 in game one. I think the Lakers get a one-zip lead. Everyone sort of starts getting, hey, man, the finals are easy. And then the Heat come out and win the next two. There's also a bet you can get with that one. Lakers winning game one. But then the Heat going up 2-1. And the odds on that one were pretty fucking tasty, I think. They were at 12. So, yeah, jump around that. So there you go. There's, I think, in the end, 12 best bets from me, Jimmy. But I've got the Heat in six, Jimmy Butts, finals MVP, and Lakers to win tomorrow -4.5. Probably take the over as well. They're going to be a bit of a free-flowing game. But there you go. I cannot fucking wait. And we'll wrap all that up tomorrow. That's brought to you by PlayUp Australia. Go to playup.com.au/NBA Australia. Join up, get around their NBA specials. And we will be back tomorrow with all the usual dumbassery and an NBA Finals Game 1 to talk about. Woo! All right. So make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Face the IG. We're all over the socials all the time. Subscribe to NFL Australia as well if you're interested. Loving that. Trying to wrap my head around an NFL season while I'm balls deep in NBA. Get around NBAAustralia.com/shop. Go buy a hoodie, buy a t-shirt, buy a stubby holder. Who cares? Check us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, whatever app you use on your Android phone. If you can rate and review, it does really help out. If you're in Melbourne, you've got nothing better to do. TheDailyLiquor.com. Speaking of nothing better to do, get shit-faced this weekend with TheDailyLiquor.com. If you're in Melbourne, go there, spend $20, get a free sixer on me. If you use the code STRAYA. Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out the new band House Hats. They're up and running, out of time is out now. Also, massive thanks to Joshua De Laurentiis, Fascinator, Gold Mines, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, 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 and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them a smash from Bandcamp, Triple J and Earth, and Facey. And remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands, so should you. They can't play shows. Go buy a t-shirt, stream the shit out of them. Pre-order the Gold Mines record. I've done that. Got my vinyl, got my t-shirt coming. Stoked on that. And we're going to close out today's show with the new Jingles HR. He's answering a question from Glenn, which is pretty funny. And we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads, for the NBA Finals. Woo! This is NBA Australia saying, look after yourselves, would you? And lederhosen. G'day, Joe Ingles here, head of Jingles HR, where we come up with HR solutions for you and your problems. Because, yep, I'm not just a dead set Aussie legend and the owner of a lot of real estate in Paul George's head, which I'm now in the process of also leasing out to an angry Airbnb client that goes by the name D Rivers. But when I'm not sinking threes, talking trash, blowing kisses, and looking after my kids, I'm the world's leading HR expert. So, let's get to this week's question, shall we? It comes from Glenn. The par 4, 9th hole, Buena Vista Private Golf Course, Southern California. Hey Joe. So look, I just got fired. after years and years and years of dealing with giant shit pile after giant shit pile at my workplace. And I don't get so much as a bloody thank you or a buy you buy or even a gold watch. Just shown the bloody door. It might have been my employees as well who I've tried to lead by hitting them, spitting on them, hiding money on them, but nothing seemed to work. But still, that was just this year. I've also shoveled so much shit for this company, I even had to take over the entire operation when the old boss got caught being racist as fuck. And we've had 7 years of success in that entire time. But now, here I am, a very experienced senior manager. Should I take some time off, get my voice back and hang out, or jump straight back into the job pool? I've already got a few offers. I mean, I could go and work with my kid again. Though I fired him last time, so I don't know. What advice do you have for me? Yours sincerely, Glenn. Now the par 5, 11th hole, Buena Vista, private golf course, Southern California. Oh, geez, thanks for writing in there, Doc. Look, that is a tough one, mate. I mean, you put blood, sweat, and tears into your work, and sometimes they fire when your wife is flying over to join you. I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? But look, when it comes to HR, we always want to strike when the iron's hot. We also want to manage expectations. So you've got to figure out what your expectations are, manage them, and then strike while the iron's hot or something. KPIs too. Anyway, seriously, look, you've got to take a long, hard look and figure out where you are. If you've already moved companies before because you didn't want to start from scratch, for instance, and wanted to be at the top of the proverbial heap, I mean, the question is, do you want to do that again? Do you want to find a ready-made company that's looking to go all the way in their field? Is that your ideal spot? As always, I say, what's the coin like? How's the weather? And what's the commute? If you've got somewhere that's offering you a gig that ticks those boxes to your liking, then I say go for it. And if not, fuck it. Take a few months off. If you're as good at your job as you're making out, the offers will still come in down the track. I mean, in your position, I'd say peruse the offers, see if there's a ready-made spot for you to walk in and cover yourself in glory, and if not, just chill. It's simple, really. I mean, after all, as we say here at Jingles HR, you can't skip steps on the way to success. But you can have someone else take those steps for you and then shove them out of the road at the top of the success staircase. That's the HR way. So there you go, Doc. I mean, Glenn. Stick to your guns. Go with your gut and hope this advice helps you choose the right gig. All right. That's all we've got time for this week on Jingles HR. I've been Joe Ingles. Get a job up ya. Yeah.